Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us. A lot to get to today. Rhea Hughes will join us. We'll talk about the end of the Flyer season on Saturday night. A good weekend for the Phillies. Some NFL schedule leaks out there. A lot to get to. And, of course, we start with a debacle and an embarrassment yesterday afternoon with the Philadelphia 76ers. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, Kyle. That was a tough weekend, man. It was the tale of two fan bases, the tale of two organizations going in two different directions. You know, I think there's a lot of positivity when it comes to, you know, the Flyers, even though the outcome was what it was.
Yep.
But I think with the Sixers, it's going to be a lot of soul searching and figuring out what to do next. That's what it kind of feels like when you talk about the 76ers.
Well, it does. And I think there's a clear path the Sixers need to take, as hard as that might be for some people to hold on to or believe. Here's where I'm at after yesterday. And yesterday was truly an embarrassing basketball game. That was a Knicks shoot-around in the first quarter. The amount of defense being played was so minimal. It felt like the Knicks were out there without any Sixers on the floor, like a shoot-around before the game. I looked up at one point, and the Sixers were down 25, down 30 at one point. When I turned it off, and God bless you if you kept going. I mean, bless your heart if you kept going. When it was 118-79, that's when I just hit the click, and I was like, I'm done with this basketball team for today and a while. We have a sad Mother's Day tradition around here. What was it, 2019 against the Raptors, the Kawhi shot? 2023, the Mother's Day massacre up in Boston. And then whatever the hell yesterday was. Hugh, that game... And we'll get to all the ancillary parts around what happens next. But that game yesterday was such a feeble basketball game by the Sixers. They just were just boat raced in their own building. The amount of defense being played was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. It was tough to watch. And like you said, I think at one point they got it close to like 15, and then the Knicks would put their foot in the gas pedal. And like I said, there was a lot of Knicks fans down here this weekend. I mean, I'm not...
Is this not I told you so?
No, it's not. It's definitely not I told
wow.
you so. But I
wow.
Like I said, Joe, I kind of understood it. Because there's a lot of fans, diehard fans, that have been dealing with this process for a long time. And, you know, it's just unfortunate that, you know, the message to come to the building and support the team when they were playing well, a lot of people didn't buy it. And that's kind of how I looked at it. I looked at it like, you know, it was a noble sentiment by Joel Embiid, but I felt like there were going to be a lot of fans that felt some type of way about the messenger. And that's why I said what I said. It's not I told you so. It's just more so kind of reading the room a little bit.
Well, listen, I'm not surprised yesterday had a lot of Knicks fans. I mean, after Friday night's nonsense, I mean, people not going yesterday did not surprise me. I mean, I wasn't surprised at that. The whole thing is just unfortunate, though. And, you know, I got to tell you how I feel this morning, because I feel a certain way after watching the game. I feel like a fool. I feel like a fool because, like a lot of us, I got excited last Saturday, right? They go to Boston. They win a Game 7. It's one of the best wins they've had in a very long time. And I fooled myself into thinking they might be different. They're not different. It's the same thing. The irony of the Sixers is that when they started their process all those years ago, and I know we're so far past the beginning of that, right? It's been multiple executives and coaches and blah, blah, blah. But when we started the whole thing, the whole point was to build a team that's not stuck in the middle, right? That is good enough to compete for a championship. Because before, they were stuck in the middle, and they were like, this isn't going to work. Let's blow it up and start over.
Mm-hmm.
They are that. The irony is they are the dog chasing their tail. They went from being the team stuck in the middle, took a sledgehammer to it, and a decade later, we wake up, and they're still stuck in the middle. They are not even close to the level of the best teams in the NBA. They're not. They're not deep enough. Their stars aren't good enough.
That's what kind of jumped out to me yesterday is the fact that they don't have enough shooters. Their bench wasn't deep enough. And when their main guys get a little tired, that's when, you know, the cracks start to show in armor.
Of course. I mean, they're not deep enough. And also their main guys aren't good enough. I mean, yesterday, this whole series showed it. The Knicks players just ran circles around this thing. 215-592-9494. I feel like a fool for believing the Sixers could be different. Could we hear from Nick Nurse yesterday in what he saw in the elimination game for his team?
Well, they obviously came out pulling super fast, and we had another, you know, scenario. I thought, you know, first five possessions, I think four of them were wide open threes, didn't make any of them, I think, and they were running off those rebounds and obviously scoring in transition. We got we did a poor job of communicating in transition. The energy obviously was a big gap between their energy and our energy, I thought. Found dug ourselves a big hole that we could never really get out of.
No, I mean, they had no shot in that basketball game yesterday. It's rare you see a basketball game in the NBA today where you know the game is over after the first quarter. I mean, you just that game yesterday was like, oh, okay, this is just not going to – today's not their day. Just like Friday wasn't their day, and Game 2 wasn't their day, and Game 1 wasn't their day. It is a joke. 215-592-9494. Let's react to the end of the Sixers season. Only the Sixers could find a way to have us all feel a certain way last weekend and then 8 days later feel the complete opposite way. And as I sit here this morning – you know, there's a lot of thoughts. I feel like a fool for thinking different. I feel like a fool for getting fooled by this team again.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt something a few years ago, and I feel vindicated on that. And unfortunately, I do. And I feel another thing today. A few years ago, I felt like there was just no way they'd ever win a championship with Joel Embiid. I still feel that way. They will never win a championship with Joel Embiid. Yesterday felt like the Joel Embiid era ended. It ended yesterday. Now, how long they hold on to this, how long they wait to recognize it, how long he has to stay here because of a contract that is a joke, I don't know. I mean, we could have to take the death march for the next 2 years until they could dump him. But I know this. Yesterday, the Joel Embiid era ended. On his home court, on the court, his team was down by 1 point at 47. He can never be the best player on a championship team. He never could. And it's even less likely now. The Sixers need to move off of Joel Embiid as the sun, the moon, and the stars of the basketball team. It's the only way. I mean, they have to. They have to turn this thing over to Maxey and Edgecombe. That's it. And whether that means Joel Embiid is dumped for anything they could get, I don't care. And whether that means they make him a part-time player, which he is anyway, I don't care. Yesterday, the first three possessions of the game, the Knicks attacked him. He was such a liability on defense at the end of the series that his offense didn't even matter anymore. He was pretty good offensively yesterday, right? He got 24 points. He didn't miss a shot. And yet his team was down by 47. Hugh, I don't know if I've ever seen a player that is more this much away from what they used to be to where he was a liability on defense. It was like they were laughing. Mitchell Robinson dunking over him on Friday night.
Yeah,
and then yesterday,
the people had the pictures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, he had points. It felt like he was unplayable. He was unbelievably bad on defense. To me, the Embiid era is over. It's just a matter of when we want to accept it.
I hear what you're saying, Joe. And I know a lot of people probably feel like that. But there were moments in this where you saw the big man, you know, show his contribution.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Joe,
but
it
Hugh,
is.
But, that's not how championships are won.
A
moment here and a moment there is not how this works.
Joe, I hear you. But when you talk about the money that he's made and the contribution that he brings to the team, Jimmy Lynam said it to me best. He wasn't to me when he said it at the end of the season when they were doing the post game and they were talking about how this team moves forward from this. He said they need somebody that can play defense that can shoot.
Yeah.
They need some. To me, I read that as getting some help for Joel Embiid because he's going to be here.
Yeah.
So you need to get another big man.
Hugh.
You need to get it. I'm just telling you, Joe.
Joe. I'm not going to get mad today, but if you want to live in La La Land, live there. This will never work. Never work.
I'm living in the reality of what this situation is.
That's fine.
You resigned Joel. We got Joel Embiid for like three more seasons.
I didn't resign anybody.
Okay. Like how you absorb.
Well, I wasn't part of that.
Okay, but he's going to be here for three more years, right?
No, that's not true.
He got three more years. Sure. Okay, he got three more years left on his deal
but
here.
I would be surprised if he's here for all 3 years.
Okay, but he's going to be here next year. But
maybe. Probably.
He's going to be here next year. So with that being said, Joe, knowing what we know about his playoff appearances, I think the best thing to do going into next season is get another big man that can actually play.
Yeah.
Get another big man that can play.
This has been the story every year.
You.
I don't want to hear it anymore. No, I'm being honest. Get Joel Embiid a backup. If he's healthy, he's going to play all the minutes. So what's the backup going
to
do?
That's the thing, Joe. You're going to have to figure out a way to keep him healthy and do it for the betterment of the squad.
All right.
That's what you're going to have to do, but he's going to be here.
Yeah, he played half the games this year. Half the games this year. Keep him healthy. How many games are you going to play next year? 20? What's the This whole thing is a waste of everyone's time.
I hear you, and I'm not arguing the point that you're making, but that's the situation that we're in right now.
Well, until they get creative. That's what their job is, to get creative. Like, I'm not going to just accept he has to be here for three more years. I'm not going to do it.
Where's your boy? The one that makes the decision.
Well, he ran off to Chicago to the combine.
Got important business.
Yeah, he does. All right. Can we hear from Joel Embiid yesterday after the game? Let's hear about him. He doesn't know if his future is going to be here in Philadelphia.
All right, VJ is going. I know, and I'm going to talk to him. He's going to be better, and he was amazing for his first year. Tyrese is going to be better, and he's taking a step every single year. PG that we saw the last couple of weeks, he still got it. And then everybody else, I don't know who's going to be here. I don't even know if I'm going to be here, but, whatever happens, happens. For me, I'm excited about, really getting back to myself.
That's wonderful. It really is. Let's also hear this from Joel Embiid, because this, of all the things that got me yesterday after the game, this was the one. You know, once in a while, you get a tone-deaf press conference around here, and this counts. Here's Joel Embiid yesterday. Well, listen to this, Hugh. Listen to what he said after the game about the season.
Yeah, I mean, I said it, and I'm going to say it again. I know we lost, and I know that's not the right mentality to have, but, for me, this was a success. I came into this year not knowing where I was going to be, how long I was going to play, if I was even going to play based on how the knee was the last, the last few years. And, I came in hoping for the best. And I feel like we're in a position where we figured out the knee. Hasn't been an issue.
What do you got?
I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Okay.
Joe, here's the thing. You have to realize who you're dealing with, right? And you're giving yourself agita for nothing and knowing that that's kind of how he's been in all his press conferences.
Okay, it's a loser take. Could we be real? He played 38 basketball games this year, and for the 10th consecutive season, he did not get out of the second round. His team got beat yesterday like a drum on his home court.
Not arguing
that. He was down. I know you're not arguing that, but how could I be okay with him saying the season was a success?
Because
that is a loser way to talk. It's a loser mentality. It's why, he's the only MVP in the history of professional basketball to never get out of the second round. And that quote is why. He has a loser mentality. I'm done. Every May, it's the same thing. They will never win a thing with him on the basketball team. Ever. Ever. I just, how could he, a success? And then he's up there joking and he brings the kid? It's like Sirianni a couple years ago. It is freaking embarrassing.
Sirianni went and won the Super Bowl.
Well, he did. And guess what? Joel Embiid won't win a damn thing. A damn thing. You go ahead, defend him.
I'm not.
Go ahead, defend him, dude.
Defend him. That's not what I'm doing. What I need you to try to understand is that's his mentality. That's the mentality that
I told you what the mentality is. Yeah, he's a loser.
You feel that, but it's unfortunate that he sat there and he said what he said. That's why I had a feeling that it was probably going to be the ratio in the stadium was going to be what it was, because people hear that, the diehard Philadelphia, the Sixers fans and the 4-for-4s, yeah, and they don't believe what's being said. Because I will acknowledge to you that it is mixed messages, because on one hand, you talk about how we need you in the stadium and how you need to support us, right? And then on the other hand, when you get handled the way that you got handled in that last game, and you sit there with a straight face and say you had a good season, I'm not defending him, but I'm trying to figure out how he's thinking. And he was asked, coming from the season that he had last season when he didn't play a lot, to play this year and then have the type of success that he had in spurts in the playoffs, that's probably what he's looking at.
Okay, I'll try to calm down and just say this in a more grown-up way.
In a non-hostile way?
He's not a championship player, and he doesn't have championship mentality. Think about the players that win championships and how they talk when they lose, and then think about what you just heard there. Kobe Bryant looked like he wanted to kill someone when he got knocked out of the playoffs. Joel Embiid sits up there after playing 38 games, and his team was down 47 points at home yesterday in an elimination game, and he sat up there saying this was a success for me?
I get it.
Why would I want to watch this guy play basketball anymore? And get out, man. Go somewhere else. It's a joke. They can't grow because he's here. And his mentality permeates the whole thing. Play when I want to play. Play when I can play. Play defense when I can. Try my best. It is exhausting. Yesterday was the biggest embarrassment. Yesterday wasn't the Knicks fans. It was that after the game. 215-592-9494. All right, what do you got today? Because I'm not happy. Kyle, what do you got?
I don't know if I want to say anything. I'm a little scared over here.
Biting up everybody.
No, I'm not.
Well, a little bit.
Okay.
If I was a Karen, I'd be in HR right now.
Okay.
If my name was Karen, I'd be running HR because you hurt my feelings.
I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about going to HR.
My feelings are hurt. Yeah, I'm thinking about going to HR.
Well, my sensibilities were hurt yesterday by the basketball team.
I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable in my work environment right now.
All right, guys, come on. What do you got?
The Embiid era should obviously be over, but there's no way it's going to be.
No, it's not.
Daryl Morey is headed to Chicago to do some scouting. Like, that sounds to me like we know what his future is. Sounds like they're going to do the Nurse and Morey are going to be back again. And Morey's not going to move off of Joel Embiid. Like, it's obvious they're just going to run this back status quo. So, like, I'm not getting my hopes up. But the Embiid comment about my season being a success, like one of the more tone deaf things I can remember a Philadelphia athlete saying.
I mean, but it's not the first time, though.
That's why I said one of. It's definitely not the. I've probably heard plenty. I'd have to come up with a list. But it's kind of funny, though. Like, if he had just reversed the order in which he said it, like, he was like, I know we lost, but my season was a success. If he had just been like, you know, I'm glad that I finished the season healthy, but
we lost.
But we went out sad. Just more tone-deaf nonsense from Joel Embiid. But am I excited about some things? The VJ thing, yeah. Maxie? Like, yeah, that's fun.
That's fun. Coming to his own.
Yeah.
They still don't have a player that I'm sitting here thinking, like, we can build around this guy, and it's that's a championship player.
Not definitely.
They don't. And I don't have any faith that, you know, that they can make the philosophical change that this thing does not have to go through Joel Embiid, or Joel Embiid's not number one option anymore. They're effed, as I can't really come up with a better word to say. That's how it feels, man.
Oh, wow. That's a horrible thing to say, but yes, it's tough. I get it. It's tough.
215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown starts us off. What do you got, Chris?
Joe is tired of our mess.
I'm tired of the Sixers. Not tired of you from your mess. I mean, I'll
give it some time.
Yeah.
We just got
it. Give you a little time.
Yeah. I mean, I might stand up today. Chris, what do you got?
Happy Groundhog Day,
That's
Joel.
Exactly what it is, Chris.
You heard him call you Joel.
I know. I might be Joel today. What do you got, Chris?
We need you, Joel. We need you locked in today. Stay true to yourself. All right, guys. I got some news here. Sixers lose in the second round. Shocker. Anybody surprised out there? Embiid led team quits before the game is over. Again, another shocker. Anyone who's surprised by any of this? Hugh, you know, they're just a moron. They all need to unite because they're lost people. Can't help them. I know you're not surprised, but no one's surprised. Anyone who wants to hold the parade and celebrate their season's success, Joel Embiid, you're a loser, okay? Like, this process, Joel Embiid was an epic failure. They never got past the second round. All of his teams roll over like a bunch of female dogs every single time, and they have no heart. They're nothing but tin men out there, just empty inside, no heart. This is a complete contrast from a Flyers team that we saw get blanked the other way, who was completely overmatched, but you know what? Right down to the last second, they never stopped fighting. Even if they were laying on the ground, they would lift a finger to try to trip the opposing team because they would do anything to the last moment. And the Sixers' mentality is a polar, complete opposite. As far as this Embiid championship and anybody out there that still thinks that they can win a championship with this, the guys, wake up and smell reality. It is gone, like Meatball Aaron's waistline, okay? It's completely gone, okay? So the team stinks. Embiid needs to be traded. And if you want to keep believing in these pipe dreams, you're crazy, okay? And, hey, speaking of gone, I think Mike Vrabel may get fired, and Hugh, everybody's going to need to apologize to you. So you know what? I took shots at Hugh, but you know what, bro? Hugh, I'm jumping on your side.
Oh, this is great.
I'm officially on the wagon. Stay strong, Hugh, because we're going to hold the line.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
All right. What's amazing is he comes in with everyone's delusional, moron. And the ends with he's delusional.
Even Hugh knows now.
Yeah,
I mean, that's when it crosses into sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's not looking good.
No, it hasn't looked good for months. I mean, that's...
We tried to tell you.
I was holding out hope for the Eagles' autism.
Different frequency.
Yeah, we're vibrating on a different frequency.
Yeah, y'all got it on.
Yeah,
y'all
I got it. Yeah, third eye. Yep, my third eye.
Yeah, two and a half weeks away, 3 weeks, what are we, three weeks away from it all.
Yeah, vibrating on.
It looks a little different. It looks like it's going to happen.
Let's go to Wendy and Wayne. Hey, Wendy.
Oh, hey. It's good to meet you. I listen all the time, but this is the first time I'm ever calling in.
Well, we appreciate you, Wendy. Wendy, what are you feeling today?
Well, so I've had season tickets to the Sixers for 44 years. It was the first thing I purchased when I graduated college. And so I have a long horizon, and some of the things I'm hearing fans say makes sense to me, and some things don't. But I've never been more personally offended than I was to hear Josh Harris disparage us in his comments after the game. You know, I'm not personally offended by... You think I almost...
Uh-oh.
Wendy, we're losing you a little bit.
Bye, Wendy.
Sorry.
What did you hear Josh Harris say?
That part faded out a little bit.
Oh, okay. So after the game, he said he made an off-color comment about the fans not showing up and there being a lot of Knicks fans. And, you know, I sit at those games on a Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, and the stadium, the arena is 80% filled. And for him to make a comment...
Wendy, before you go, I just want to just question, because I haven't seen that. I didn't see it on camera. Did you see it like personally because you were there? Did you observe it?
WIP this morning, and I called in, and, you know, it was too busy. So I heard them. They played. Okay, so you have it in your studio.
Okay, all right. You know, Wendy, we're going to find that, and Wendy, we'll talk about it, and thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate you. I didn't hear that yet.
No, I didn't hear it either.
Is she talking about Josh Hart?
Maybe Josh Hart.
That's who she's talking about.
So, listen, if we have Josh Harris on record saying something about the fans,
from Josh Harris,
we will spend a lot of time on that, I promise everyone.
I have nothing from
Josh
Harris. I
haven't seen that either. Now, Josh Hart did take a swipe at Philadelphia as a sports town, the former Villanova star, and obviously what he's done with the Knicks. We'll get to that. Yeah, we got a lot to react to today. 215-592-9494. I think I've sufficiently calmed down a little bit, but... We'll see how many people Hugh Douglas defends today before I stand up. All right, we'll get to Rhea Hughes, who will not defend any of this crap coming up. Sixers swept by the New York Knicks. Your reaction, and where do you come down? It was yesterday the end of the Joel Embiid era. To me, it is in reality. Is it in practicality? No, I agree with you. I agree with Kyle. He's probably going to be here next year. I recognize the challenge of moving him off the roster. To me, the era ended yesterday. It's a matter of how quickly the Sixers could start their next era with him not part of it. That's the story in my mind. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.